2 Corinthians chapter 2. Sure was a good week last week, amen?
Amen.
Anybody still got that fire going?
Yeah.
Amen. I do too.
It's up to you to keep that fire going.
That's right.
It ain't up to me.
Yep.
I'll do my best. I'll throw as much wood out there as I can, but if your fire's already out,
that's on you. So, amen. Let's pray. I'm not even in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. What am I doing? My notes are, though. 2 Corinthians chapter, not number 2, number 8. Man. Amen. We was praying downstairs, but really I should probably pray before we get started. Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this topic on missions, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for Lord, everybody that just gives to missions, Lord, I pray, Lord, for this time, Lord, to teach on missions, Lord, I thank you for the missions that we have, Lord, I pray, that, Lord, that we just take this more serious, Lord, that it touch our hearts, and Lord, that may we be convicted about giving, Lord, I don't know, let your Holy Spirit go forth, Lord, and teach us, Lord, and may we receive it and believe it, in Jesus' name, amen. So I did get this from Pastor John Wagner. John Wagner and Brad Whitbrock, they are, they're pastor figures in my life. And John Wagner got this from Pastor Farley, and I, as far as Pastor Farley goes, he's like the standard. God's the standard, don't get me wrong, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This book is the standard, this book is the final authority, but there is no other church that's probably that amongst our crowd doing more than the Shady Acres Baptist Church. And that's because of the way they've been taught by Brother Jack Wood and the way Pastor Farley has continued to set that example in going forth and preaching the gospel to make sure that the gospel goes out and reaches everywhere. That is a priority in the church. And when that is not the priority in the church, you're going to have problems. Because everybody starts to get around and starts nitpicking one another because you don't have unity. If we unity around the gospel of Christ, that's a good thing to get unified about. It's a good thing to get unified about the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that he's still in the business of saving souls. I'm not unifying around Donald Trump, I'll tell you that. I could care less about any of that garbage. Amen. That ain't what I'm here for today. I'm not preaching political cowpucky. All right, I'm done with that. I don't even know where that came from. I apologize. But I'm done. I heard some people just talk Trump. I said, I don't care. I don't care. Hope he gets saved. So we taught on the directions of the church concerning missions. We taught on the plan of missions. We've taught on the challenge of missions. You know what? The laborers need to go out. Laborers are few. Pray that there be laborers. That's what the Lord said. But today I'd like to talk on the support of missions. I've got a lot of good feedback going through here with these letters. These letters have been an encouragement to me. And, I pray they're an encouragement to you. But we need to support missions. And this is the Sunday school crowd. Most everybody in here is supporting missions. But we're to give financially towards missions. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. You know, it's neat. Like I said, I got good feedback from a brother. He says, him and his wife were talking, and he says, you know, we need to start giving a check to missions. And they told me that. They just confessed me that. I says, well, amen, you're ahead of the game because I'm teaching on giving to missions next. So they must have been listening to the Holy Spirit. So praise God for that, you know, amen. That encourages me. I don't look at people like, oh, you haven't been given to missions. That's not me. I'm like, praise the Lord. I'm happy. Amen. God's working in your heart and he's doing something and you're listening to it and you're obeying and you're giving because God said to do it. Not because the preacher said it, but because God said it. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and then verse number 1, it says, Moreover, brethren, Just make sure. We do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. I mean, I like that, Brother Mike. The trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For their power, I bear record, yeah, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You know what? This was a poor church. Verse number 2. And how then in great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and in their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. You know, they was poor and they was going to give to missions. They gave beyond their power. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. Verse number 3, they were willing of themselves to give. That's why you see it down at Shady Acres. They got a couple hundred people. I think they did over 2 million in missions. Mega churches ain't even doing that. Mega churches. Thousands of people ain't giving what a couple hundred people over here are giving. It's because some people are just willing to live without. To say, you know what, I'm going to support this guy over here because he's going to go take this over to Africa. You know, a church just took up they're going to go on a missions trip to the Appalachians. They said, we're going to see how poor people really live. And I didn't say nothing. I just said, praise God. But that ain't nothing compared to Africa. That ain't nothing compared to some of these other countries. We are rich. Rich. Amen. Brother, this is Brother Paul Robinson. We support him out in, for Africa. He's our missions to Africa, Brother John Robinson's brother. You all know John Robinson? He's been here. Keep him in prayer. We already went through this before. Sunday night, I'm not going to go over it again. Just keep him in prayer. Some stuff going on with this. And even with the missionaries over here and support and over in Malawi, we're going to support the Robinson family always. I don't care about what other churches say. I don't. I'm going to leave it at that. But his dad raised up his boys, and all his boys are in the ministry. His dad, Ron Robinson, he has Bible Fellowship in Lubbock, Texas. Lubbock. That's kind of a fun word to say. Lubbock. Lubbock, Texas. But that's where he's from. But this is his letter. I'd like to read it. This is in April 8th, so a couple months ago. He says, I am writing this letter. Greetings, brethren. I am writing this letter to express my deep gratitude for your generous financial support for David Robinson. Your recent contribution was not only a blessing to David and his family, but also to me personally. I have been encouraged to see that you, as well as other missionary-minded Christians, are behind the great work that God is doing in Malawi. As pastor of North Star Baptist Church, I take personal responsibility for managing the Robinson's family support, as well as the support for the ministry needs in Malawi. I do not do this alone. Several of my church members play a role in handling communications and support. I am thankful for the opportunity to involve the chance to get to know the churches and individuals that have been holding the ropes for this ministry. At the moment, David and the team in Malawi are busy preparing for the next campaign for Christ. It is happening April 2nd through May 5th. I am currently packing to leave tomorrow with my wife to travel to Malawi and survey the work there. We are excited to meet faithful men and have been praying for so many years and be able to take part of our first campaign. We covet your prayers. If you have any questions, you know you can call him. Please just reach out. And he says, I pray that God will bless you for your generosity and your faithfulness. Pastor Paul Robinson. And he included some of that stuff in there because, I mean, I'll just say it, I guess. Other churches are accusing them of mishandling financial support, which I've spoke with John Robinson, and that's not the case. So they need prayer. God's going to sort that thing out. I have confidence in that. I have confidence in my God that he's going to sort that thing out. And he'll bring the liars out. And they'll be known. I don't need to... We need to get involved in prayer in that matter. And it's a great work that's still going on over there. If you attended Pastor Glenn's meeting, you've seen that. You've seen they had a little video slide of all the people that were getting saved and going out. I mean, you're talking just poor. I mean, poor people in Malawi and Africa and all this crusading for Christ that they were going through. All right. So that was an attitude in giving. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, their attitude. They was poor. They gave beyond their power. They wanted them to take it, even though they didn't have much money. And they gave of their own selves first. That's that joy, too. Somebody else came up with that acronym. Jesus, others, yourself. But most people spell that YAJ. Yourself, others, Jesus. You get that right. I mean, you'd be surprised how many people have joy when you put Jesus first. You have problems and you start trusting the Lord and getting around some other good brethren and pretty soon you got a smile on your face.
That's right.
Amen. An attitude in giving. How about a motive in giving? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And in verse number 5. It says, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man is according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye may always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You know what? They gave abundantly. They gave joyfully. They gave bountifully. They gave liberally for the necessity and for the want. We got brother Rick Terrazas. He's probably one of the few missionaries that everybody in the church knows who he is. Love brother Rick. I love brother Rick. He is a preacher. And he loves people, man. He should be preaching to the thousands. Amen. But I got his prayer letter. He read it Wednesday. There wasn't that many people that was here. So I'm going to read it again. Is that okay? Amen. I mean, he's seeing people in these prisons. Rick Terrazas he's our missionary to the kids' prisons. He also has jail ministries. And he's seeing kids get saved that's just up to no good. Up to no good. Kids that need Jesus. Kids that don't have any love in their life. The parents ain't there for them. These kids is angry, destructive, and they're in jail. But they're willing to listen to Brother Rick. So I want to begin by expressing that my family and the Rock of Ages Ministries are ever grateful for your dedicated support and prayers. Since our last prayer letter in January, we have given out 75 Bibles and have seen 75 youth make professions of faith in Christ that would not have been possible without your partnership. That's because you're supporting them. I recently received a message from one of the newer managers at the juvenile detention center, asked me to contact him. It rarely is good news when you get such a message from a manager, but after returning his call, I realized that he was a solid Christian man who genuinely appreciated the service we offer to the youth in his facility. When I responded to him, he followed up with a personal letter saying, "It is a blessing to have you share the gospel each time you are here, Brother Rick. It is something that is being curtailed in our nation and in our state's public service and government agencies. We appreciate all you do, and likewise, I can better support your ministry. Or you have any ideas, please don't hesitate to reach out." Amen. So the leadership's taken note of it. Many of the country and state employees are incredibly supportive, and I cannot believe that the freedom we are being given. There were so many accommodating during the COVID shutdowns, and often I have youth remind me how the same came to Christ during Zoom chapel services. Man, that's amazing. Yeah. During a Zoom meeting. We do have our share of problems out here in the western states. Often the things that happen here in Portland even make national news, but God is working, and lately it has been common to have close to 100% of the youth in my two county facilities attending services. Amen. Praise God. God has not finished saving souls. You got to remember that. God's not done saving souls. He'll put witnesses out here until the very last day. That's Genesis chapter 19. He sends two witnesses and says, "It's time to go. This place is going to burn. Fire and brimstone's coming." But God still sent his witnesses there till the end. He's always going to do that. The church needs to be doing that. Upon entering one unit, I saw two boys who were separated from the general population because of their young age, both being only 13 years old. They agreed to let me share a Bible story with them. And by the time I finished explaining how Christ showed me his love on the cross, I could see one of the boys begin to tear up. Praise the Lord, they both trusted Christ that evening. I gave them both Bibles, and the next week, one of the volunteers reported that one of them had already read 50 pages. His name is Mike, praise God. And it turns out he is a runaway. When he told me his parents didn't like him, I thought he must have burned some bridges with them, but he soon clarified that they had never liked him or wanted him. I could tell he was telling me the truth. He says, "Please pray for Mike and others like him." Another day I was requested to come to the girls' unit, only to find a 17-year-old girl waiting for me. Asking me to help her to know the Lord better. She said her name was Sandra and that she was a Christian. But I soon gathered that she did not have a clear understanding of salvation. After sharing the truth with her from the Bible, she received Christ that very morning. She has a drug addiction and recently had overdosed to the point that her heart stopped and they had to revive her. Man, that's how, you'll never know what these people are going through. Right. I mean, you look at, I check myself at this too. All these homeless camps. I mean, some people there willingly, you know what I mean? But some people just got a tough break. Yeah. Some people need a hand like that virtuous woman, you know what I mean? And some people need some hands just to get back up on their feet. And some, once they get into this addiction, man, it's a tough thing. Yeah. You reap what you sow. Right. And you ain't gonna be there, "You reap what you sow, deal with it, ha ha!" No. Right? No. Some of them just need a hand. No. Some of them need prayed for. They didn't have parents like you got. She's also grateful and has assured me that I have been a huge help in recovery. Please pray for Sandra and others in the institution with addictions. Recently, We have seen an increase of Spanish-speaking youth in our facilities, and many of them come to chapel faithfully. It is such a blessing to see how the staff or other youth who are able, who have been willing to translate for me during services or individual counseling. Many have come to Christ through this. God always provides for us as we do His work. The facilities I work in reach with, from Woodburn, Oregon to Longview, Washington, which include three of the largest counties in Oregon. Chances are if a juvenile is incarcerated in this region, they will receive a clear gospel message while they are in detention. It is difficult to describe in words how amazing it is to watch God work in this field. Thanks again for your support. Please reach out to us if there's any way Marta and I can be a blessing to you. Like I said, Brother Rick is a blessing, man. I sure appreciate what he's doing. Like I said, I don't even need to go there, but and I appreciate it. Motive in giving. How about a purpose in giving? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. What would Rick be doing if we weren't supporting him? That little girl even got saved. Mike even got saved. If churches weren't supporting him. If you wasn't willing to stick some money in the plate. Second Corinthians, purpose in giving. Second Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 14. Says, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached out not unto you. For we are come as far as you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. And not to boast in other men's line of things made ready to our hand. You know what? You're not getting in the prison system. Unless you want to go commit a crime. Brother Rick might take, but you know, to support them in the regions beyond. Where you can't go to Africa. You can't go to China. We got a missionary to China. I can't read his name. Just because. But he's been going through it. I mean, this is our missionary to China. He says, Janet and I are, his wife, are on our way to marry. We have three reasons for returning at this time. As I mentioned last month, first, our son David and his family are returning to the States after 4 years in China and 4 years in Thailand. We will be spending a few weeks to help them get established. Second, Jan and I both have to get medical tests done. Janet tests are basically routine checkups. I will be seeing a cardiac surgeon, but won't know the results for a few weeks. It says my blood pressure is still very irrational and unpredictable. Third, we still have 9 churches to visit to complete our furlough that we began in September. We had cut our furlough short because we are of the passing of Janet's dad in November. Once we complete these items, we will return to Thailand, probably in late June or early July. In our absence, we have a Korean pastor, Pastor Han, that will be handling Sunday service for us in Chumpon. Janet will be having weekly online classes with 2 of the Thai ladies and classes with 4 of the Chinese ladies in Kunming. I will be having classes with a Bible student in China and a couple from Chupon. He says, while we're in the States, you're welcome to contact him. Gives his email. And he says, we love and appreciate each of you. Thank you for your love and prayers and support over the last 27 years. That's longer than I've even been saved. These guys have been missionaries. 27 years. There are a lot of kids in here ain't even 27 years old. You know? I look around, yeah, that's me. This guy's been preaching the gospel in tough areas. I mean, you get caught over there preaching the gospel, you're going down. You read some of those Watchman Nee books. It says that he had some problems going through the airport, and I like what he says here. I got to highlight. He says, "I'm telling you, I'll just read. Our flight to the States went okay all through, although the lag from Tapi to Los Angeles had more severe and longer turbulence than we have ever experienced. David's kids slept through it, but we adults were praying. It seems we are always running through airports because of a late start and turbulence. We were an hour late getting into L.A. We were down to 2 hours to get through the immigration, collect all our bags to take to the transfer counter, run to two terminals to the next flight, check in again, go through security and run to the gate with four adults and three kids. Immigration was extremely slow. Our bags came on the last run and we quickly transferred all 14 bags to the next flight. Finally, we started down the home stretch and got to the gate just as they started boarding. When we got to Orlando, we were missing one of the bags. One of 14 isn't bad, speaking from experience." You know how it's been. I mean, you've ever been in an airport, you know what I mean? And this is what he says. "I'm telling you all this because I am so thankful that God doesn't sleep. He takes care of us 100% all the time. We take so much that he does for granted. Traveling around the world with time changes, airport agendas, airline timetables, governmental checks and balances, and seven insignificant people." He's talking about himself and his kids. "With jet lag, and God doesn't miss a beat. He knows us. He watches us. He cares for us. He loves us. Praise the Lord for his faithfulness to us. I wonder how faithful we are to him." But there are missionaries to China. So that purpose in giving, you know what? That's to reach the regions beyond. There's places you can't go. And I'll say it like this. There's places you don't want to go that other people are willing to go. Like Brother Sean Holtz. Anybody that knows me knows I cannot stand the public education school system. God help them. Some of them teachers I was thinking about, they're going to get a millstone around their neck. They are. 100%. I guarantee it. And I can't stand the public school system education. I really can't. But I love those kids. Yeah. I feel bad for what they're learning, what they're being taught. And Brother Sean Holst is willing to go over there. I mean, you see, look at some of these videos, man. He's got a couple hundred kids all around him. Kids, man. Just young kids. Young adults. And he's willing to share the gospel with them and just plow and plant seeds. And I can't do that. I'd like to think I could, but if somebody spit on me, I don't know what I'd do. Last time that happened to me, I went to jail. I'm not going to put myself in that predicament if I can't do it. But I can support this guy that can do it. Because he's got the grace of God and he's got that measure of faith and he can go do it. Pastor John Wagner went to Vietnam. Ate a whole bunch of stuff. Had to get some stomach stuff to settle it down. I don't know if I could do that. But I'm going to support the guy who can. God might call you to go someplace like that. I pray he does. I'd love to be able to support some missionary out of this church. God's called me to Africa. My sending church is God Word Baptist Church. Amen. Last person he sent out of this church was my brother-in-law, Kevin Congrove. Went up there and started that church up in Walla Walla. Been a while. To reach the regions beyond. You know what? There's selfish giving. You know, you figure this thing out enough. Anybody who's been a Christian, for any amount of time knows that if they give, God's going to give back. Am I right? I mean, you can do it and not have the right heart about it, and God's still going to give back to you. He's faithful. Is there any? Where's the Kleenex at? I don't know anyhow. But giving grudgingly. I ought not give grudgingly. God doesn't want you to be a selfish giver. And there's steady giving. Some people will just give steadily. Praise God. Praise God if you're giving. Period. There's steady. Some people are just 10%. 10%, that's what it was. Thank you, Brother Mike. I appreciate that. 10%, 10%, 10%, everything. Just giving it. Nothing wrong with that. They'll do that. Praise God for that. Supporting these missions. Got to use your 10%. Got to use your grudgingly giving. Then there's sacrificial giving. That kind when you didn't really have the money to give. All you might have had was just your little bit or just your 10%. And the missionary's car broke down. And that $1,000 that you was going to use to fix your house, fix your car, insert whatever, you end up giving to him instead. Cost you something. I worked for all that. Yeah, but this guy's taking the gospel out. Not that he's doing more than anybody else, but this is what the Lord's called him to do. So you know what? I'm going to sacrificially just give to him. Then there's that supernatural giving. I mean, Pastor John Wagner and his stories he was telling on this was just, we got some here in our church that, of our own. How many remember when the sewer went out? Who remembers when the sewer backed up into the church? How about that? That was disgusting. But you know what? That cost a lot of money to replace. A lot of money. And the church didn't have the money. Pastor was all stressing out. We don't have enough money to fix this. We don't have enough money to do this. And he was stressed out. He'll openly admit he was stressed out. And we were like, I don't know how we're going to get it fixed either. And Brother Gabe Tafoya went out with that other brother, knocked on this lady's door over here somewhere. Pastor didn't even mention it. She came to church one time. I mean, Pastor didn't mention the church sewer when this lady was here. That's what I meant to say. I don't know if that got misunderstood. That lady came one time, wrote the exact amount that the sewer needed to get fixed. Never came back again. Thank you, Lord. Talking about supernatural giving. Because Gabe Tafoya was willing out there to go out in the regions beyond. Tell some lady, hey, there's a church over here that's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you come? Yeah, I'll come. Writes a check for a couple $1,000. Never comes back. You can't explain that. I can explain. God did it. Amen. You couldn't have predicted that. You start walking with the Lord a little bit, you start realizing, man, maybe we just pray about this thing, let the Lord fix it. He'll bring somebody in to fix it. Amen. that trust gets a little bit more. You start seeing him work a little bit more. John Wagner said this. He says they was all going to go to Africa. They didn't have enough money to all go to Africa, and a whole bunch of them went to Africa. They started a church over there. Didn't have the finances, didn't have this, didn't have that. And he says, so you know what he did? They went and got a credit card. And they charged it all on it. You were here, Mike. You heard this story. He charged it all on the credit card. No, ooh. Right? I mean, they've seen it, right? And he says, you know what? We didn't have the money, but we're going to do it by faith. They went over there by faith. It got mentioned, and it was like $13,000-some. Somebody on a radio program heard that they did that. Donated them $40,000. I ain't telling you to go get a credit card, but I'm telling you, if God told you to do something, you better do it. Now, the last one he shared with us when we was eating dinner before we took off. As a pastor and as anybody, you can start stressing about finances. Right. How are we going to pay these bills? How are we going to do this? Especially as a church, he had $85,000 left to pay on the church. So he's going to go try to, I think he said, refinance it, try to get a new loan for his church. He goes down there, and any time a church has got to deal with a bank, it's a problem. Let me see your giving statements. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? We can't loan you the money, blah, 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 blah. And it's frustrating for a pastor. But he's had this Tuesday night men's Bible study that he's been doing with these men. Most of them don't even go to his church. A lot of these guys are just construction workers that work down wherever. But he's been faithful to it. And one Tuesday he comes up and he's a little frustrated. And he talks to, he's telling the guys, you know, hey man, the bank's not doing this. The bank doesn't want to sign this, whatever, doesn't want to refinance us. And one of the guys goes, well, how much is it? He goes, oh, it's $84,396. I just made that up. It was about $84,000-some-odd. Guy pulls out his checkbook and he goes, $85,000 work? There you go. He goes, yeah, that'll work. Doesn't even go to his church. Right. I'm talking about supernatural giving. It might have been abundance to him. Maybe that's just his appreciation. Thanks for being faithful, Pastor. I've learned a lot from you. God still does miracles. I was talking with Brother Mike too. I mean, and everybody down there. We praise the God for the men that showed up and want to pray in the mornings. We need to be praying more for one another. It's good to see Sister Lisa here again. You look good, sis. Amen. But it's hard, like y'all praying for my cow. When y'all see your cow that's ready to die, it's hard to pray for a cow when I see it. But when you guys are praying for it, hey, let's pray about this $85,000. Oh, here's a check. Talking about supernatural. You know, we're to pray for missions. We don't need to. He had this saying too. Money makes the possible a reality. And prayer makes the impossible a reality. Amen. Money makes the possible a reality. And prayer makes the impossible a reality. Turn to Philippians. We'll close with this verse. We all know we need to be praying for missions. I don't need to go to any of those verses. But God does love a missions-minded church. A church that is not supporting missions, a church that is not actively going out and preaching the gospel, a church that does not have Jesus Christ and the gospel and that cross at the front of their church, and that is not their priority, is a dead church. It's a dry church. Where are we getting the power from? Philippians 4, chapter number 14, or Philippians chapter 4, verse number 14, says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Man, I'd like to be a church like that. Just giving out. Cheerfully. Abundantly. Above. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once again unto me, unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but because I desire fruit that ye may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And when God wants us to give, there's an attitude in giving. There's a motive in giving. There's a purpose in giving. And God will bless mission-minded churches. We've read through countless letters, and I have other ones too, where God just continues to bless the people that we support. That makes sense? Yeah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for these missionaries, Lord. Help us, Lord, just, Lord, keep them in our hearts. Lord, that we might pray for them, Lord, that they would be an encouragement, Lord, that we just take this thing of supporting missions, Lord, and giving to missions more seriously, Lord, that your gospel would go forth and save until you come back. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.